In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you work outside or do you spend a lot of time out of doors? Our ancestors probably spent much more time outdoors than we do. Take, for instance, the people of Bible times. Farmers, fishermen, shepherds, soldiers likely had a better appreciation of the phases of the moon, the change of the seasons, and the hours of sunlight and darkness in a day than we do. Most of us live and work in buildings where we can't see the sky. Whatever the season, the indoor temperatures are always between 68 and 72 degrees, and if it's dark, we can just turn on an electric light to make it bright as day. Do you find light fascinating? Light is in many ways a mystery. Light is defined as that part of the electromagnetic spectrum that we can see. It's odd to think that there is light that we cannot see. I can sort of fathom matter existing as a solid or a gas or a liquid, but I cannot quite grasp exactly what it means that light is a wave of photons. The idea of light traveling 186,000 miles per second is mind-boggling to me. Even though we can't totally understand light, it's useful for us. Lasers can be used for surgery. I'm sure many of you have had laser eye surgery, as I have. Without light, we couldn't even see anything. What we perceive as objects and colors are our brains reacting to different wavelengths of light being reflected. The light of the sun heats our planet. Most planets are too hot or too cold to support life. Light is necessary for photosynthesis in plants, which become food for humans and the animals we eat. Without light, not only would our world be cold and dark, we couldn't even live. It's no wonder, then, that light is so frequently found in the Bible and in our worship, both literally and symbolically. Light was the first element of creation. The very first thing that God did was create light and separate it from the darkness. We ceremoniously light candles at the beginning of worship each week here. The opposite of light, darkness, is another often used symbol. When God was freeing his children from their slavery in Egypt, one of the 10 plagues was darkness. When the Hebrews were freed, God led them through the wilderness to the promised land, following a pillar of cloud by day and a bright pillar of fire by night. The pillar and the fire of the darkness was the Israelites, the light of God guiding them. And King David wrote in the Psalms, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." He likened God's word to a light that keeps us from stumbling in the dark. If you were here on Christmas Eve, the candlelighting ceremony, while we sang Silent Night, was a highlight of the service. At our celebration of our Lord's birth, we recalled how the divine light came to us human beings. 8 days after Jesus' birth, Simeon would declare that Jesus was God's light to the nations when baby Jesus was presented in the temple. And as an adult, Jesus would say that he himself was the light of the world. Backing up for just a moment, I want to say a word about Christmas. Some people say that the date of Christmas and many of our Advent and Christmas traditions, such as Advent wreaths and Christmas trees with lights, were stolen from pagan religions. As a general statement, that simply is not true. Christmas is close to, but a few days after, the winter solstice, which many ancient societies celebrated. There is talk of a big pagan festival called Saturnalia that was celebrated on December 25th. Evidence shows that Christmas was celebrated on December 25th from the very earliest times in the church. good historical research shows that a pagan holiday was likely not celebrated on December 25th until after that date became Christmas. It was a reaction by the pagans to try to squelch Christmas, not the other way around. What beautiful symmetry it is that near the solstice, when each day begins to have a bit more daylight, Christ, the light of the world, was born into our world. The seasons, the days, things like light, all belong to God anyway. He can use them as he wishes. A pagan ritual or symbol is only pagan if we attach pagan meaning to it. Anything we do to honor Christ is, by its nature, Christian. Sometimes we display the trophies of our defeated enemies, and we christen them. After Christmas, we celebrated Epiphany. We recall how once again God used light, this time a magnificent star in the sky, to lead the wise men to the Christ child. In our church, in this season of Sundays after the Epiphany, we have been hearing how Jesus enlightened humanity by preaching, teaching, and performing miracles, such as healings and exorcisms. Today is Transfiguration Sunday, the last Sunday after the Epiphany. Next Sunday will be the first Sunday in Lent, so today is a transitional, pivotal day. On this Transfiguration Sunday, our gospel reading was the familiar but bewildering story of Jesus on the mountain. We read how there Moses and Elijah, two long past heroes of the faith, representing the law and the prophets, speak with Jesus. There is much that could be said about the Transfiguration. There is one point we will especially want to consider. But first, I want to go back to something about the light in the Old Testament that I purposely skipped over. In our Old Testament reading today from Exodus, we hear how Moses came down from Mount Sinai after talking with God. It says his face was glowing. He had rays of light coming out of his face. He was literally lit up with the light of God. This was too much for the people to handle. They asked him to cover his face, which he did. We human beings get overwhelmed by the holiness and the power of God. When the book of Exodus was translated from Hebrew into Latin in the early centuries of the church, the word for rays in this report about Moses got translated as horns. From that error, some people believed that Moses had actual horns on his head like an animal. I have a miniature reproduction of Michelangelo's sculpture of Moses, and there are clearly horns on Moses' head. Given that anti-Semitism has been around at least as long as there have been Jews, some people jumped to the conclusion that all Jews must have horns on their head. They obviously don't. The rays of light coming off Moses meant he had been enlightened by God. Our epistle reading today puts an interesting twist on this. It says Moses' veil means that the Jews received God's law, but not the full revelation of God's word. They know something about God, but not the whole truth. Their understanding is impeded. God the Father can only be known fully through Jesus, the only begotten Son. And to know Jesus is to know the gospel. Which brings us back to Jesus' transfiguration. Mark tells us that Jesus' clothes became brilliant, intensely white. The bright white implies purity and righteousness. Jesus is the sinless one, even greater than Moses and Elijah. Although they might not have fully understood all that the transfiguration meant, to see Jesus glorified that way must have been an awesome experience for the disciples that were there. They were seeing his resurrected glory ahead of time. That's important. That's important because some very dark, difficult times were coming. Jesus would be betrayed, falsely arrested, and unjustly tried. He would be abused, humiliated, and crucified. We recall how darkness covered the earth while Jesus hung on the cross. Our Good Friday service is called Tenebrae, meaning a service of darkness and shadows. As we read our Lord's Passion that day, we extinguish candles and the service ends in darkness. For those first disciples living with Christ as he went to the cross, and for us modern day disciples reliving those events, the glorious light of the Transfiguration can give us hope in the darkness. As each of us face our individual dark nights of the soul, moments of loss and despair, moments when our faith seems to fail us and all seems lost, we find hope in our memories of the awesome light of Christ, which we ourselves had seen. Scripture tells us that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. Easter, the resurrection of our Lord, comes just after the spring equinox, the day when we start having more daylight than darkness each day. At dawn on that first Easter morning, the women went to the tomb and found Jesus wasn't there. He was risen indeed. That was truly a new day for us, because we know that Christ will raise us up one day, even as he has risen. When we get to heaven, there will be no night or darkness. It will be perpetual day. There will be no sun or moon either. Christ the Lamb himself will give light to the New Jerusalem, and we will rejoice in that light. In the meantime, we here on earth cling to the glimpses of paradise that God has given us. We are entering the season of Lent, and we will put away our joyful alleluias for a time as we contemplate Jesus' passion and death. But even in the darkness, the light of Christ shines, and we can trust in him. Amen.